Binabati ko kayo mga kapatid sa pangalan ng ating Panginoong Heso Kristo. Ipagpapatuloy natin ang ating pag-aaral sa ating Sunday School ng Christian Holiness at tayo ngayon ay nasa bahagi ng pag-aaral patungkol sa Standards of Holiness at tayo ay nasa bahagi ng Kingdom of Christ. Bilang mabilis ang pagbabalik-aral, muli nating sariwain na ang halaga ng standard is because without a standard, we cannot define sin or holiness. If we want to be holy, we need to know what it is to be holy, and we want to know what it is to avoid sin. At sa standard, I maintain that the supreme standard is God Himself. Be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. Is a standard repeated in the Old Testament and New Testament, and this is our standard. But hindi tayo pwedeng magkanya-kanya kung ano ang pagiging banal ng Diyos. Binigyan tayo ng mga pamantayan na magpapakita paano ipamuhay ang kabanalan ng Diyos. At kaya nang sa aking sinabi, ito ay definido. We are targeting these standards. And there are four we are studying. Natapos na tayo sa Ten Commandments. Nasa bahagi tayo ngayon na pinag-aaralan natin ang Kingdom of Christ. Pagkatapos nito ay titingnan natin the example of Jesus at ang pang-apat ay fruit of the Spirit. Sa bahagi ng Kingdom of Christ, muli kong pananariwain na ang tinuturo ng bagong tipan, Christ is now a ruling king from the time of his resurrection. Kaya hindi ito panghinaharap pa lang sa tinatawag ng millennial reign. Jesus sat on the throne of his father David according to Peter's sermon on Pentecost when he was risen from the dead. So he is a ruling king since the time of his resurrection. And sino ang bahagi o ang nagpapasakop sa kanyang kaharian? Believers in Christ are the subjects of the kingdom. As far as unbelievers are concerned, until they believe in the gospel, they are outsiders to the kingdom. Now, maaring malito tayo sa mga pagtuturo ng bagong tipan na tila ba kung minsan parang narito na, kung minsan ay parang mangyayari pa lamang. That is explained by the fact that the kingdom has an inauguration aspect as well as a consummation aspect. May bahagi na pinasimula na at may bahagi na lulubusin pa lamang sa ikalawang pagparito ng ating Panginoong Heso Kristo. Pero ang kaharian ay narito na, nagahari na si Heso Kristo, kaya isang pamantayan ng pagpapakabanal ay pagsunod sa paghahari ni Heso Kristo. Ngayon, ano ang pamantayan na mayroon sa paghahari ni Heso Kristo? Ang tinatalakay natin ngayon ay ang Sermon on the Mount at binibigyan ko ito ng a slightly changed outline. Tinatawag ito ngayon na the Kingdom Law. Dahil ang isusunod natin na standard ay the Kingdom Gospel. But the Kingdom Law is of course enunciated in several places in the New Testament but none more summarizing than the Sermon on the Mount. Kaya ito ang pinag-aaralan natin. The Sermon on the Mount is the first of five discourses about the kingdom in the Gospel of Matthew, and it is about membership in the kingdom. At kaya ng aking ipinaliwanag, it is not replacing the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments remain binding at hindi yan ang intensyon ni Jesus ng kanyang ipangaral ang Sermon on the Mount. Hindi niya pinapalitan ang sampung utos. Sa halip, ang pinapakita niya o sinasalungat niya ay ang legalistic righteousness. Yan ang uri ng katuwiran ng mga eskriba at pariseo at kanyang inilalagay sa tamang panuntunan ang pagsunod sa sampung utos na dapat ay mula sa panloob. Kaya this is the life of those under the rule of Christ in His kingdom. At sa pagtalakay ng Sermon on the Mount, inuna natin ang tinatawag na Beatitudes. Ang pinapakita nito ay the blessedness of character. At sa ating pag-istruktura nito, tinignan natin na the central virtue is hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Katuwiran ang pinakatema ng Sermon on the Mount. At dyan natin ininog ang anim pa na Beatitudes. The Beatitudes of Need and the Beatitudes of Action. Under the Beatitudes of Need, all those in the kingdom are poor in spirit, and that is why ang counterpart niyan in action is being merciful. Then those in the kingdom mourn for their sin. There is sorrow for sin. At ang katapat niyan ay they are pure in heart. They want to be pure in their motives. And then pangatlo, the subjects of the kingdom are meek. And ang katapat niyan ay they are ready to make peace. But the principle of this section of the Sermon on the Mount about the blessedness of character is that in the kingdom of Christ, gracious favor comes first. Ang ikalawang tinanakay natin ay ang inwardness of obedience. Nariyan yan sa pagsasalungat ni Jesus, "You have heard, but I say to you." At hindi niya sinasalungat ang sampung utos, kundi ang uri ng ipag-akala ng mga eskriba at pariseo paano sundin ang kautusan. At pinakita ni Jesus na ang pagsunod sa kautusan ay nagmumula sa panloob. So there is an inward disposition that every new covenant believer has been transformed into having. At kaya makikita natin na sa pagsuway ng mga utos ng Diyos, hindi ang pagsuway sa panlabas lamang. Ang mga pinili nating usapin ay patungkol sa pagpatay, violation of the sixth commandment. At sinabi ni Jesus, ang galit na umiiral sa isang tao ay paglabag na sa ika-anim na utos. Ganun din sa ikapitong utos. Ang pangangalo niya ay hindi lamang sa pakikiapid sa hindi asawa, kung hindi, kung mayroong kahalayan where lust is dominating the mind, or lust is the content of the thought, that is already a violation of the seventh commandment. And then the whole second table of the law is violated by a prevailing hatred of the enemy. Kaya dito ang makikita nating prinsipyo. In the new covenant or the kingdom, people of God are inwardly transformed. That is why obedience is inward. Wala tayong panahon na talagang saliksikin natin ng husto ang bawat maliit na bahagi ng Sermon on the Mount. Kaya sa leksyong ito ay gusto kong tapusin na ang iba pang mga bahagi ng Sermon on the Mount by making big clusters of exposition, kung ano pa ang sinasabi ng Sermon on the Mount, kung paano sumunod sa kautusan ang mga tunay na nagpapasakop sa paghahari ni Jesucristo. Kaya ang kasunod ng blessedness of character, inwardness of obedience, ay ang Godwardness of religion. Makikita natin ito sa mga ginagawa ng mga nasa kaharian ni Jesucristo, ay iniisip nilang sila'y nasa harap ng Diyos kaysa sa harap ng mga tao. Ano ba itong tinutukoy na religion? Hindi ito kadalasan sa pag-iisip natin. We think of religion as a group affiliation. Well, that is not what religion is. Religion simply means activities that you do for God. At ito ang sinabi ni James 1:27, "Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world." So, merong bahagi ng religion na benevolence, may bahagi ng religion na personal holiness, personal mortification, but both are being done for God. In that sense, it is religion. Now, the key warning sa bahaging ito ng Sermon on the Mount ay practicing righteousness to be seen in public. And one word that the Lord Jesus uses again and again is a word that perhaps will grate into our ears, but it is something that can describe the religion of the scribes and the Pharisees. And unfortunately, sometimes even of those who belong to the kingdom, if they do not watch, they can become hypocrite. At ang hypocrite, ang salitang ginamit dyan ay tumutukoy sa maskarang isinusuot ng mga aktor sa entablado noong panahong iyon. At that time, wala silang katulad nating mga sinihan at mga pelikula. People played their acts on the stage, and in order to show their character, they wore masks. And the mask is the hypocrites. So When applied to religion, it is those people who wear masks of certain religious activities in order to hide their real heart, their real motivation, and that is hypocrisy. At ang sinabi ng Panginoon sa mga taong ganyan, they have received their full reward. Ang ibig sabihin ay kung ang talagang hinahanap lang nila ay purihin sila ng mga tao, nakuha na nila. Pinuri sila ng mga tao, nagantimpalaan sila ng mga tao na yun ang dahilan ng kanilang pagpapakabuti at ang paimbabaw na motibo ay umaani ng mga papuring panlabas lamang, ngunit hindi yan ang gusto ng isang nasa kaharian ni Yesu Kristo. His religion, his activities for God must be Godward. Anong ibig sabihin ng Godwardness of religion? There is a place, of course, for public performance as duty. Hindi natin inaalis yan. Maliwanag sa maging sa Sermon on the Mount, may sinabing, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So it is unavoidable, in fact, for believers to have a certain testimonial impact on people who can observe them. May mga nakaka-observe sa atin at ang makikita nila ay kung may liwanag na kikita sa iyong pamumuhay o hindi. So in other words, there is something unavoidable and there is nothing wrong about public performance as duty, such as preaching and teaching and other ministries where we do it in public. It's not wrong. But also, we add, being commended for good work is not itself wrong. May mga nag-aakala na kapag pinuri ka ng ibang tao, ay tanggihan mo kaagad at sabihin mo na to God alone be the glory. Of course, to God alone be the ultimate glory, but to be commended for one's good work is one way by which God is glorified through His people. At sinabi yan sa Proverbs 27 verse 2, "Let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips." So, self-praise is always distasteful. Pero ang sinasabi niyan, if someone else praises you, if someone else commends your work, then as long as that work is something that is done by you for God, then others commending it is in fact adding to the possibility that God is glorified or the opportunity that God is glorified. So, hindi natin inaalis ang pampubliko nating ginagawa. But what does it mean when we talk of Godward religion? Godward motive makes religion primarily secret. Ang ibig sabihin, kung anong ginagawa mo sa lihim na ang Diyos lamang ang nakakakita, doon masasabi na your motive is Godward. Tingnan natin ito sa dalawang bagay na binanggit ni Jesus sa bahaging ito ng Sermon on the Mount. Ang una ay giving, sa ating pagbibigay. Ang sinabi niya doon sa mga mapagpaimbabaw, they give in order to be seen by men. At ang ginagawa pa noon ay talagang meron pang bell na ipapakita kung gaano kalaki ang kanilang binigay para makaani sila ng papuri, whereas Jesus' instruction is, when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. So that is what Jesus is saying. There's nothing wrong about giving in public, but the primary thing is you give even if it is anonymous, even if it is secret, even if it does not carry your name in the act of giving. Now, una, it's not forbidding record keeping. May mga dahilan kung bakit nagkikip ng record. At kung minsan sa mga bansa o lipunan na kasama sa ibinabawas sa kanilang buwis ang mga naibibigay sa mga gawaing pangrelihiyon, ay maaaring makabawas nga ito sa kanilang babayaran. So there is nothing wrong about record keeping. But this is an attitude that cringes from public announcement. kapag gusto pa nilang maanunsyo ang kanilang pangalan na ganitong kanilang ibinigay, ayaw natin ng ganoon. Hindi dapat ganoon ang hangarin natin sa uri ng pagbibigay na ginagawa natin. And sa iglesia, giving is part of our worship activity, and of course, the church can only move along its ministries with a giving people, but we do not want monitoring in order to bear pressure on the people to give. I've always said, giving is between you and your God. It is your worship of God. No amount of gimmickry will make you give with a Godward motive, and no need for gimmickry. If you have a Godward motive, you will give. So this is something that we do not do in our church. So giving is one religious activity that calls for a Godward motive. And another that Jesus uses is praying, sa pananalangin. Again, ang kanyang sinabi, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Again, the emphasis on secret. Dahil ang mga mapagpaimbabawa, mga eskriba at pariseo, mahilig manalangin sa publiko ng malakas at paulit-ulit para lang masabi ng mga tao at hangaan sila sa pagiging madasalin o mapanalanginin. Ngunit ang tunay na nananalangin ay nananalangin siya sa sikreto, sa lihim na ang Diyos lamang ang nakakakita. Now again, for clarification, this is not forbidding leading in public prayer. There are times in the assembly of the church where we do have public praying, and in order to have a united public praying, someone must lead. And in leading the church to pray, he uses prayer that he himself utters, but he is praying on behalf of the church. So in that sense, he is being heard. In fact, he must be heard in order for others to join in spirit sa kanyang panalangin. Kaya hindi ipinagbabawal ang public praying and leading in public prayer, but it renounces repeated ritual prayer. Yung paulit-ulit, naging ritual na lang, at lalo pat ginagawa para makita ng iba, eh yan ang mapagpaimbabaw na panalangin, at ito ang iniiwasan natin. And that is why the Lord Jesus taught His people the model prayer, which we call the Lord's Prayer, which perhaps most of us have memorized, but that is not meant for repeated ritual praying. It is meant to give us a pattern how to pray, and it is prayer that is directed to God as our Father. And kung makikita ninyo sa modelong panalangin na yan, ang nakararami o nauuna ng mga usaping hinihiling ay ang mga bagay na may kinalaman sa pangalan niya, sa kanyang kaharian. Hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Ganyan ba tayong manalangin? Makikita ang uri ng panalangin na ang pinakatunay na alalahanin ay mga bagay na pangkaharian, hindi lamang pangpersonal na mga pagpapala. At kaya tinatawag tayo sa panunuri nito. How much of a religious practice is in secrecy? One Puritan said, what you are on your knees before God is what you are and no more. Ibig sabihin, kahit pa nasa publiko ay kaganda ng iyong naipapakita at kahanga-hanga sa paningin ng iba, ngunit ano ka sa harap ng Diyos kapag ikaw na lamang at ang Diyos lamang ang nakakakita? Yan ang panuri, sapagkat ang uri ng aktibidad ng ating relihiyon ay dapat na nakaukol sa Diyos. Ang sumunod na bahagi ng Sermon on the Mount ay patungkol na sa priority or assessment of values. And the distinctive of those in the kingdom is the lastingness of their priority. Now, whether we admit it or not, consciously or unconsciously, all of us live by priority. Meron tayong mga prioridad. Maaring alam mo kung anong prioridad mo, maaring hindi mo alam, pero sa uri ng mga pamumuhay, sa uri ng mga desisyon mo, pinapakita mo kung ano ang iyong prioridad. At para sa mga nasa kaharian ni Jesucristo, ang kanilang mga prioridad ay dapat nauuna ang mga bagay ng kaharian. Kingdom realities must shape and determine all their other values. So kingdom realities will bear on their relational priorities, their relational concerns, which bears on temporal realities, which bear on individual concerns. And again, they all interrelate, but I try to demonstrate it in such a way that kingdom realities are above all other values. Ito ang nauuna at yan ang maliwanag na itinuro. So, ang malhalagang babala dito ni Jesus, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Kung ano ang para sa iyo ay yaman, eh doon talaga mananahan ang puso mo. At hindi yan tumutukoy lang sa emosyon, tumutukoy yan sa pinakamahalaga sa iyong pagkatao. Kung ano ang yaman para sa iyo, kung yan ay pera, yan ay magpapakita ng uri ng pamumuhay na hindi angkop sa paghahari ng Panginoong Jesucristo. Kaya muli, iangkop natin ito sa dalawang bagay tungkol sa priority. Kingdom priority is on what lasts for eternity. And this applies to investment. May sinabi ang Panginoon, do not lay up for yourselves treasure that rusts and that is destroyed by moth and can be stolen. Ang pinapakita niya riyan, una, paliwanagin natin, it is not forbidding wise investment. Kung gusto mong mamuhunan sa bagay na alam mong kikita ng maganda at walang nilalabag na utos ng Diyos, walang nilalabag sa kanyang kalooban, walang masama na tayo ay magkaroon ng tamang pamumuhunan o kabuhayan. But dislocating the centrality of eternity is bad investment. Halimbawang sa pamumuhunan mo o sa kabuhayan mo ay kinakailang isang tabi mo ang mga alalahanin ng pangwalang hanggan. Nawawala ka sa iglesia, nawawala ka sa pagsamba, nawawalan ka ng panahon sa panalangin at sa pagbubulay ng salita ng Diyos, ay makikita na tinatanggal mo ang pangunguna ng mga katotohanan ng kaharian. Then, no matter how profitable apparently that investment is, in the end, you are the loser for it. And devotion to God and idolatry of money are diametrical opposites. And we are familiar with this statement of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. So you cannot have both as object of devotion. One must be a servant. And of course, between God and money, it's God to whom we give our devotion, complete and absolute devotion. Money should be a servant. But once money takes the priority and the attention and the occupation of your life, then devotion to God suffers because they are diametrically opposite and they are inversely proportional, meaning as the one increases, the other decreases. Kaya suriin natin ang ating sarili dyan sa ating mga kabuhayan, mga pamumuhunan, at isa pa ay sa usapin ng anxiety o pagkaligalig. Eh, ito ang sinabi ni Jesus, na ang mga wala sa kaharian, sila'y naliligalig sa maraming bagay, sa kanilang kakainin, sa kanilang isusuot, ay samantalang inaalagaan ng Diyos ang mga ibon, ang mga halaman. So, the matter of anxiety is not a psychological issue, it's not a personality issue, it is an issue of being consistent with your trust in your Lord as the one who reigns in the kingdom. So, again, let us clarify, it is not forbidding planning for the temporary. Hindi naman sinabing huwag mong pag-isipan ang iyong kakainin at isusuot o ang mga pangsamantalang bagay. That is not the point. But preoccupation with the temporary without trust in God dislocates kingdom priority. Ibig sabihin, kung natutok at naukol na ng gusto sa mga bagay na pansamantala, ang iyong isip at pagpaplano ng buhay ay nawawala sa lugar na dapat ay prioridad ang mga bagay ng kaharian ng Diyos. And we are all familiar with this exhortation of Jesus in Matthew 6:33-34. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Ang ibig sabihin ay huwag kang mamuhay sa pagkaligalig sa mga bagay na wala kang kontrol. Ipaubay at ipagkatiwala mo sa Panginoon. Ang asikasuhin mo at ang hanapin mo ay ang buhay na nagpapasakop kay Jesucristo, ang kanyang kaharian at ang katuwiran na naaayon sa kanyang kalooban. Ang panghuli na usapin dito sa Sermon on the Mount, pagkatapos na makita natin ang blessedness of character, ang inwardness of obedience, ang Godwardness of religion, at lastingness of priority, ay angkop na tinapos ni Jesus ang Sermon on the Mount on consistency of performance or consistency and steadiness of one's application. Paano mo ipinamumuhay ang lahat ng mga pamantayang ito ng Sermon on the Mount? Bakit kinakailangan na consistent? Because he describes legalistic righteousness here as being oriented to the spectacular. Sa huling araw daw ng paghuhukom, may mga tao na ang kanilang sasabihin ay, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonderful works in your name? Eh, yan ang kanilang pamanhik. Marami silang ginawang kababalaghan. In other words, spectacular things. But what response Jesus will give is, then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice evil. So for all their spectacular ministries and spectacular activities, they have no consistent application of righteousness in their lives. They are oriented only to what is spectacular. And very aptly, Jesus concludes the Sermon on the Mount with that familiar parable of the two builders, which distinguishes between consistent application of the word that is heard and the inconsistent. Between the wise man who built his house on the rock and the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The foolish man's house is meant for shiny days, for bright days. But stormy days happen, and it is during the stormy days that the durability of one's faith is tested. At dito nga, hindi tumagal ang tao na hindi consistent ang kanyang pamumuhay, kundi nakauko lamang sa kung kailan maganda, kung kailan maliwanag, kung kailan maaraw, samantalang ang tunay na pagpapamuhay ng salita ng Diyos sa kanyang kaharian ay tuloy-tuloy kahit pa sa mga panahon na maunos. So with this, the Sermon on the Mount concludes, and it is calling upon us to live a life that is consistent with the standard of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Kaya ang bawat mananampalataya, muli nandoon ang struggle niya, because we are righteous and sinner at the same time. Nasa kanya ang kingdom standard. The kingdom standard begins with the thought, God has been gracious to me. And because God has been gracious to me, may I be holy as God sees me, not as I wish others see me. Yung ganyan ang pamantayan ng isang nagpapakatuwid ng ayon sa kaharian ni Jesucristo. Ngunit narito pa tayo sa kasalanan, nandyan pa ang legalistic righteousness na ang hinahanap ay I must earn God's favor. Kapag ganyan ang iyong pagsisimula, ang kalalabasan niyan ay I want to follow rules in public that I may earn commendation. At sa kanilang pag-aakala, when men commend them, they therefore earn merits before God, and how far from the truth that is. The challenge to us of the Sermon on the Mount is, by God's grace, pursue kingdom righteousness, not legalism. Kingdom righteousness that begins with grace. Kingdom righteousness that is inward in its obedience. Kingdom righteousness that is Godward in its religion. Kingdom righteousness that is lasting in its priority. And kingdom righteousness that is consistent in its application. Kaya sana ganyan ang uri ng kabanalan na sikapin nating ipamuhay. Ang Sermon on the Mount ay isang napakagandang buod ng batas na sinusunod sa kaharian. Katulad din ito ng 10 utos, ngunit ngayon sinusunod natin na ang na Panginoon na kinikilala natin, ang hari na umiiral na pamamahala sa atin ay ang Panginoong Hesukristo. Ganyan ang kabanalan ng bagong tipan, kabanalang nasa ilalim ng pamamahala ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Maraming salamat sa inyong pakikinig. Sana kayo ay nakinabang. At pagpalain kayo mula sa pag-ibig ng Ama, sa biyaya ng kanyang anak na si Hesukristo, at sa pakikipisan ng banal na Espiritu.